أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم اخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا باب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Brothers, sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So I was reading a hadith yesterday and I wanted to present it to you because it stopped me for a moment and it made me think. I want to share it with you. It's a hadith about Imam Ali Rida عليه السلام. This man, his name is Al-Hasan ibn al-Jahm. Hasan ibn al-Jahm. Hasan is having a conversation with Imam Ali Rida. And then when he ends the conversation, he says to him the same... Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says to him that same line that we always say to each other when we leave each other. We say, Iltimasi dua, I ask you for your prayers. And we always forget to pray for the person when we say that. So this man, he says to Imam Rida alayhi salam, La tansani min ad-du'a, as he leaves him. He says, don't forget me from your dua. So Imam Ali Rida, in this interaction, he's very humorous with Hassan. He says to him, وَتَعْلَمُ أَنِّي أَنْسَاكَ. He says, and do you think that I forget you from my prayers? For you to say that? Do you think I'm forgetting you? So Hassan says this in the narration. فَتَفَكَّرْتُ فِي نَفْسِي وَقُلْتُ هُوَ يَدْعُو لِشِيعَتِهِ وَأَنَا مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ. He said, when Imam Ali Rida said to me, do you think I forget you from my prayers? I stopped for a moment and I thought to myself, he prays for his Shia and I am from his Shia. So he must be praying for me because I'm from the Shia. So he's praying for all of the Shia. So he says to him, La, lan tansani. No, I know you don't forget me. So Imam Ali Rida replies, وَكَيْفَ عَلِمْتُ ذَلِكَ. And how do you know that? How do you know that I don't forget you? What told you I don't forget you? قُلْتُ إِنِّي مِن شِيعَتِكَ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَدْعُو لَهُمْ. He said, because I'm from your Shia and you pray for your Shia. You pray for your followers. You pray for the people that are on your path. That's why I know you don't forget me. Imam Ali Rida replies, هَلْ عَلِمْتَ بِشَيْءٍ غَيْرْ هَذَا. Is there anything else that told you that I don't forget you, or is that it? Do you know anything else? He says, لا, that's all. I think that you don't forget me because you pray for the Shia and I'm from your Shia. That's all, that's why. So the Imam says the following line, very beautiful line. I want you to reflect over this and reflect over what it means with your Imam living now. Imam Ali Rida says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْلَمَ مَا لَكَ عَنْدِي. If you want to know what you mean to me, فَانْظُرْ إِلَى مَا لَكَ عَنْدَكَ. Then look to what I mean to you. You want to know what you mean to me? Look towards what I mean to you. How often do you pray for me? How often do you pray for me? And know that I pray for you as much. How often do you think about me? Know that I think about you as much. How often do you care for me and love me and follow me? Know that I care for you and love you as much. I match it. But if you want to know what you mean to me, look into yourself and think of what I mean to you. That means if we spent this month trying to get close to the Quran and trying to get close to the Ahlul Bayt and forming a relationship with our Imam, the gateway to heaven, the gateway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forming a relationship with him, asking him to take us by the hand, thinking of him, praying for him, know that he's doing the same for you, praying for you and thinking of you, not just as his Shia, you individually, that he is your teacher. We have a few more nights of this holy month. We want to take advantage of it. We want to ask a lot of the time, what happens after Ramadan? because we don't feel the same high we feel during Shahr Ramadan. And of course, that's normal. During Shahr Ramadan, we're here, we're sitting down with each other, we see each other every day, we're eating together, we're fasting. There's so much that helps us. So after Shahr Ramadan, after Muharram, usually we don't keep the same level of heightened awareness and spirituality, and that's okay. Who said we're supposed to? Who said that we're supposed to always keep a heightened level of spirituality? Since when was that the norm? Is that even possible? Or is life and religion actually about moments? You have moments with Allah. You have moments with God. You must make those moments count. It's not about constantly being up. Life is never going to constantly be up. It's up and down. But when you're up, you're going to experience moments of sweetness. You want to make sure you bring back from those moments into your daily life so you can apply these lessons in how you live constantly. Religion is not about constant spiritual experience. Spiritual experience is a very important aspect within deen. But that's not what it's meant to be. So if we use spiritual experience as our measuring stick as to how close I am to God, that's not correct. Because sometimes you feel really good. Who said that means you're close? Maybe Laylatul Qadr, you cried so much, you felt so good, you went home, you cried, you lay out your chest. Who said that means you connected? And who said if you didn't cry, that you didn't connect? Or if you didn't feel like you made it, I didn't feel it. That means you didn't connect. Who said that? Who said that your feeling is the measurement stick to connection or no connection? You don't know. Allah knows. What we do is the right thing. And in fact, sometimes the guilt of not being able to cry or connect, that's what makes you connect. Because you really want God. The main thing is, don't make spirituality and spiritual experience your God. It's a thin line between worshipping Allah and worshipping God, being devoted to God, and being devoted to feeling good. Really understand the difference. I can't focus in my salat. I don't feel it. I don't connect. I want to feel spiritual. Who said that you have to feel spiritual in every salat, in every prayer? Do you know what happens when you go towards prayer every time looking for spirituality? When you don't feel it, you don't want to do it. Or you think you're doing it wrong. So the question poses itself. Are you worshipping spirituality? Or are you worshipping Allah? Big difference. We're not doing this so we can feel good. We're doing this because it's true. We want to follow truth. Not because what makes us feel good. Because actually, if you follow the path of God, you're going to go through a lot of hardship and trials and tribulations. It's not always going to feel good. Karbala. But you're close to Allah. The main thing is, leave it to God to know about your connection or not. You don't judge yourself so harshly because you couldn't cry or you couldn't connect or you didn't get that feeling, that special feeling. You're not supposed to always have that feeling. What you're supposed to do is when you do get the feeling, you bring it back into your daily life so that when you don't have the feeling, you're still walking on a straight path. Because it's not about how you feel. It's about doing what needs to be done regardless of how you feel. People who are successful, and this is true for everything, with religion, spirituality, with business, with your relationship, with everything. People who are successful are those who do what they have to do when they feel like it and when they don't feel like it. When they feel like it and when they don't. Because it's not about the feeling, it's the discipline. It's not the motivation, the discipline. We're devoted people. We need two wings. We are people, Muslims, who fly when we are on the high. We fly in the sky, but also we have to be grounded. That's why people who, when they take psychedelic drugs, or MDMA, or ayahuasca, they go to the Amazon and they go through a spiritual experience. That's a real experience. They experience something. They see an epiphany. They have a vision. But a lot of the time, they can't bring it back to their daily lives because it's divorced from ethics. Religion is ethics. Religion is a way of life, ethics that you live by. You're not your God. You have to follow a God. And everyone follows a God, by the way. You either worship God or you worship yourself. Some people worship science. But you worship something. Even people who say you're teaching your kids beliefs, you're brainwashing them. You make your daughter wear hijab, you teach your kids to believe in Allah. If you teach your kids not to believe in Allah, that's a belief too. The belief in non-belief. It's all belief. Everyone's passing on what they are. Everyone passes on their value. I think they should make up their own mind. But that's a belief. You're passing that on to them. So everyone worships a God. Nahna, what we want to understand is when we have those spiritual experiences, we want to make the most out of them. Think about the spiritual experiences that we go through. In Muharram, Ashura, we're here. You come into the hall, everyone's crying. The ninth night of Ashura, everyone's crying. Everyone's living Karbala all over again. If you bring someone from outside on the street, you bring them here, you say, why is everyone crying? He'll say, why is everyone crying? Is there a funeral? You say, no. So who just died? Actually, no one just died, but a man died over 1,000 years ago. We're crying for him. Why? You didn't know him. No, we knew him. Not like we know each other, but we knew him. We know of him. He's the grandson of our prophet. He doesn't get it. It doesn't make sense to someone outside. But we're living it like we're crying. It's happening right in front of us. We're ready at that moment to give our lives. How? Not only does he not understand it, he doesn't believe it. It's unbelievable. That is a very high level of spirituality. But then when it finishes, we go home, we just carry on normal lives. Then what happened? How come we didn't take advantage of that moment? That was a moment that you should take advantage of. So you must notice, yes, you would always fluctuate in your spirituality. But in the moments when you're up, those are the moments that you must make decisions and take lessons on how you're going to live your life afterwards. How are you going to bring this lesson into your daily practice? Consistent daily practice, not just spiritual high. So we must understand we have moments of spirituality and spiritual experience, but they're moments. And I don't constantly have to be on the level where it's always high. As long as when I zoom out, I'm on an upwards trajectory. One day I'm up, one day I'm down, but when I zoom out, I'm going upwards. So in order to do this, to live this kind of lifestyle, I need to understand my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to understand what this is all about. What does this mean? Is it so that I don't eat pork and I don't drink alcohol and I move up and down 5 times a day? Is that what it means? Of course not. It's not based on just the outer law. Today, a young sister, she was about 12 years old. She said to me, how can I get closer to Allah? And she does everything. She's praying. She's reading Quran. Maybe she wants another ritual. I said, how often do you think about God? How often do you think about Him? How often do you just speak to Him? You just speak to Him. How often? You don't have to do all the rituals all the time to feel like you're close to God. If we want to understand our relationship with Allah, we have to look at the relationship on two sides. One side Allah, one side insan, me, human being. What are the main characteristics on both sides of the relationship? And then I will know what the relationship is about. Let's begin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. When we start with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of life, power, and knowledge. That means everything I interact with of life, power, and knowledge, and beauty, and strength, and everything that I know and see in my life, in people, in money, in business, in everything else, it's all manifestations of God, reflections. And you guys who are here in Muharram, you know I gave that whole series about the reflections of Allah and the names of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in everything, everywhere. Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. All around us are names and manifestations, representations and symbols of God. In your spouse, in your children, in your wealth. The problem is sometimes we get mixed up. God is the all wealthy. He has true wealth. He is wealth. But because we in this world accumulate money, we start to make a mistake. We think money equals wealth. And we start to worship money. Because you love wealth. You're programmed to love wealth. From when you're born, your fitrah, you have a magnet inside you that goes towards wealth. You don't go towards poverty. No one loves poverty. You love wealth because God is wealth. You love power because God is power. You love beauty because God is beauty. You don't love what's hideous. You don't love what's weak. You don't love these things. You love those things which represent God. Except on the way, you fall down. You think that's God. You don't look at it as a representation. You think it is God. You start to worship the woman, worship money, worship whatever else it is, because you think that's Allah. The one who reflects sees these are all just symbols and signs pointing to Allah. We have to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names in a way that they become part of our relationship. For example, the name of knowledge, Al-Alim, the knowledgeable one. I want to give you something to think about. When right now I'm talking to you, you're receiving knowledge from the outside, from someone else, right? When you read a book, you're receiving knowledge from the outside, from someone else. When you listen to a podcast, when you're engaging in a discussion, you're receiving knowledge from outside, from someone else. But there is a type of knowledge that you have that's not from the outside. It's knowledge by presence. It's present within you. There is no intermediary for this kind of knowledge. Right now, there's an intermediary between you and I. But knowledge from within you, there's no intermediary. For example, states of being like hunger and love and pain. You have knowledge of your hunger, love and pain without anyone telling you about it. You know it, you feel it, you experience it. So for example, you have a pain in your leg. You go to the doctor, you feel the pain in your leg, you feel the pain, you experience pain, right? You go to the doctor, you say, doctor, I have a pain in my leg, I have a pain in my chest. He can diagnose you, he understands it conceptually, he knows what's wrong because he studied, he can give you medicine. Does he feel the pain in your chest? The way that you feel the pain in your chest, he doesn't feel it. He understands it conceptually. He doesn't feel the pain in your chest, he doesn't have knowledge of the pain in your chest. How about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does Allah understand the pain in your chest conceptually like the doctor? Or does He understand the pain in your chest the way that you understand it? What do you think? If you say it's not how you understand it, that means you know something He doesn't. That you have a first-hand experience of your pain and He doesn't. What does that mean? He has first-hand experience of your pain too. How close is He? Of course, Allah doesn't experience pain and emotions. But because He has total and absolute knowledge of what you go through, you could almost say in all your experiences, He goes through it with you. How close are you, Ya Allah, to me? You're closer to me than my jugular vein? Because not only is it reading my mind or knowing my intention, you know my states of being. So you have knowledge of my hunger or my thirst or my pain or my love, the way that I have knowledge of my pain and my love. How close are you, Ya Allah? That's so close. There's no one closer. As much as you speak to someone on the outside, it's still there's an intermediary between you and them. With Allah, there's no intermediary. It's from inside. That's one side of the relationship. I understand Allah has total knowledge, complete, absolute, infinite, no beginning, no end. I come to me, human being, insan. On this side, two main characteristics that I want to offer you, and I'll say my salam. The first characteristic is that you are an immaterial being in reality. You're not physical. This is physical, this is material. But you are a soul, and you carry a body. You're not a body that carries a soul. Right now, you're in the ascent level. You're going up. You're in the bottom, in dunya, alamuddani, the lowest world, the world of conflicting friction and material being. This is the world of materialism. But this world is full of these illusions. When you die, that's when you're actually born, and your soul lives forever. You go to barzakh, and then there's afterlife, heaven, hell. You, in your reality, are an immaterial being, a soul that is forever going to be alive, forever, based on what you do here. That means I have to understand that me as a being, I am an immaterial being in reality. So I have potential outside of the material world. For me to explain it better, think of the whole universe. Think of the cosmos. Look at those stars in the sky and how far away they are. They're billions of light years away. You know what that means, billions of light years away? So if every second we're traveling at 300,000 kilometers, every second we're traveling, thousands of kilometers per second for a year times a billion at the speed of light. To get to those stars, that's all still material. That's all energy. It's still material. You can still, you can observe it. It's material, physical. It's not immaterial. Immaterial is beyond this world. Your truth is beyond this world. It's beyond the universe. So when Imam Ali alayhi salam says, تَحْسَبُ أَنَّكَ جُرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَ انْطَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. You think you're a small, tiny entity, but within you all the worlds reside. Within you is the entire universe. He means it. That's not a poem. He means that. When Imam Ali says, كُلُّ وِعَاءٍ يَضِيقُ بِمَا جُعِلَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الْعِلْمِ إِنَّهُ يَتَّسِعُ. That every container becomes full with whatever you fill it up with, except the container of knowledge. The container of knowledge, it expands. Who is the container of knowledge? You and I, we're human beings. We are the container of knowledge. We expand because we're spiritual beings. Before I came here, Shah Ramadan, my grandfather had passed away, God rest his soul. My mother called me, said, come to the house, your grandfather isn't breathing. I got there, he passed away. I said, I'm going to wash him. I took him to do his ghusl. I sat there, I was contemplating. I took off his shirt, I'm getting him ready, I'm going to wash my grandfather, this man who raised me. So subhanAllah, all those pictures I have with my grandfather when I'm 1 year old, 2 years old, 5 years old, he's carrying me. He didn't know this kid he's carrying is going to wash his body before he puts it in the grave. But as I'm washing the body now, I'm remembering all the memories with my grandfather. I look in his eyes. His eyes, they're rolling back. I look in his eyes. Now I'm being very generous, very gentle with this body. And it's sanctified because it belonged to this man who I cherish. But that wasn't my grandfather. That's not him. He's not there. I looked at his eyes. I'm like, Jiddu, you're not there. You're not here right now. This is just the body that you used while you were here, your vehicle. The same way you came today, you parked your car outside in the car park. Then you came inside. You parked your car in the grave. This is your car. This is your vehicle. You park your vehicle in the grave. The real you continues. You came inside to your destination. He went to he's in Barzakh. He's alive right now. He's alive in the other world. Based on what he did in this world, God help him. Based on what he did in this world, this lecture dedicated to him, inshallah. That's important. We take care of that body because it belonged to that person in Islam. We wrap them in the shroud, faces the Qibla, we bury it. But that physical being is not who you are. That's the vehicle carrying who you are. That's important to understand when you want to look at your relationship with Allah. The second characteristic is that you are in complete poverty to Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas, antum al-fuqara ila Allah. All people, you are the ones in poverty to God. You need God. You rely completely on Allah for your very existence. You are contingent on Him. That means you have nothing of yourself. That means the reason as to why Allah is all giving and all wealthy. So Allah has everything and He gives everything, but you're not receiving is because you don't accept to receive it. Because you don't accept that you're in poverty to God. You spend your whole life trying to be a somebody when you were always a nobody. Everyone's a nobody. There's only one somebody. That's God. The only one who relies on Himself. Everyone else relies on God. You're a nobody until you accept your nobodiness and you accept to be one with somebody. So you must open your hands and accept that you have nothing. It's easy to say, but much harder to live by. When you believe you get the check at the end of the month from your boss, and you believe your boss paid you, and so you want to do what your boss says, you abide by what your boss says, you want to make sure they never upset with you, because you really believe that they paid you, they didn't pay you. Allah paid you. No, but I see it's from the name, my boss's name, and his credit card and everything else. The bank details. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But ultimately, your boss is faqir as well. You're all fuqara. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he says that talab al-muhtaj min al-muhtaj safa. If you are muhtaj, how can you ask another muhtaj? It's stupidity, he said. You need it and he needs it. You all need existence. Sure, in this world, some people have more money than the other. But money doesn't make you more valuable. It can buy you more things. Whilst you're here, it doesn't make you more valuable though. But your honor makes you more valuable. Your dignity makes you more valuable. Your courage makes you more valuable. Your piety makes you more valuable. These make you more valuable because their qualities are from Allah. Akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most noble of you are the most God-conscious of you. That's what makes you more valuable. So I have to understand, if I'm an immaterial being and I'm actually in poverty, why am I not receiving from God in my relationship with Allah? It's because there's so much I, ana, me. You see someone, nice beard, ring, everything, praise on time. But every two sentences, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, I did this. I gave this much money at charity. I did. Brother, what you talk about is yourself. You worship yourself. A'udhu billah min kalimat ana. I seek refuge in Allah from the word I. Because I have no presence on my own without Allah. But when you become Abdullah, when you accept your nothingness in front of God, you receive everything from God, through God. And you realize that. So if someone is affected by this lecture, it's not me. It's 100% Allah. Not 99, 100%. Sure, Allah uses means. 100% Him though. Not 0.1% me. It's all God. It has to be. Otherwise, I'm saying that I have some autonomy on my own. It can't be. So here is the question, my brothers. The question that we have to ask ourselves. This is the sentence, the golden sentence. And I'll leave you with this. If you want to continue on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grow and use lessons from your spiritual moments and bring them down to earth, you must ask the following. Ya Allah, what do you want from me now? What do you want from me? If you constantly ask Allah what He wants from you, you will constantly want what He wants. You will go towards what He wants. You align yourself with God. But it's hard. The reason why you don't receive is because you don't want Allah. You don't really want it. Why? Because it's hard. Right now, I gave a lecture in Masumin Center. Right now, I'm giving JCC. Afterwards, I have Al-Huda. I'm going to go, probably going to get home at midnight. Now, you get home, I'm going to sit down, probably want to zone out a little bit. Probably want to watch TV for a little bit. And then, a young man messages me, Mawlana, I need help. I'm in trouble. And I'm just trying to watch The Office right now. The brother wants to speak. Okay. Ya Allah, what do you want from me now? You want me to just chill and watch TV? Or should I help this brother? Obviously, I have to help the brother. I know it's the right thing. Of course, there's limits, you know. I can't be at 4 a.m. But I know God wants me to help the brother right now. Okay, I turn the TV off. I go help the brother. But you know what? It's hard. So sometimes we block it out. We don't want to know. It's 3 p.m. Ya Allah, what do you want from me now? I wanted you to pray 2 hours ago. Okay, let me get up and pray. Otherwise, why am I extending my time? Why am I not praying? If Allah wants me to, but I don't want to. So I'm choosing what I want, not what Allah wants. Do you see how it's actually hard? If you live with what Allah wants, you have to be on point. Ya Allah, what do you want from me now? So you must harmonize your will with the will of Allah. And it ends up in a place where the narration says, لِلَّهِ رِجَالٍ in أَرَادُ arad. God has men. If they want, He wants. It gets to a level when they want, when you want, Allah wants. Why? Because when Allah wanted, you wanted. So now you start to automatically want what Allah wants. It becomes aligned. Then you understand when Rasulullah says, when Fatima is angry, I am angry. When I am angry, Allah is angry. Why? Because it's all aligned. You must live life in this way. It's called taklif, mission. I must know my mission. Every day I have a mission. And long term in my life, I have a mission. Allah gives you a mission, each and every one of us. You have a taklif. Based on your qualities, characteristics, and capabilities, you can offer something to the people, you offer something to the community, to your family, you present yourself to God. What can you offer? Ya Allah, where are the holes in the community? Where are the holes in the world? What can I do that you need me to do? Let me do your work. Ya Allah, what do you want from me now? What do you want from me now? Harmonize my will with your will. Give me, make me someone who wants what you want. Don't let me choose what I want over what you want. So, this is going to be a difficult journey, but if you want to challenge yourself and you really want to receive from Allah and you want to experience what it means to be Abdullah, you must ask yourself constantly, are you choosing to do what you want or what Allah wants? Harmonize your will with the will of Allah. May Allah accept all of your a'mal. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.